Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. This is found on page 1726 of the Pew Bible. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. This is the word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The book of Bereshith, or Genesis in English, was originally written in Hebrew. Hebrew was terrifying for me at first in seminary because of the crazy alphabet and the fact that you have to read it backwards. But I discovered pretty early in my first Hebrew class that it is a ridiculously fun language. You get to say things like tohu wabohu, which means formless and void. Now, our sweet, gentle-mannered Hebrew professor never said it that way, but my classmates and I did, because in every language, there are some words and phrases that are extremely satisfying when you make them overly dramatic. Tohu wabohu is one of those phrases. And in the context of our Old Testament passage this morning, the phrase is pretty dramatic, considering what happens next. And it's a very important phrase to remember. It's a good phrase, even without someone saying it in their movie announcer voice. In the beginning, the world was empty and shapeless. It was formless, nothing. Not just a blob, but simply nothing. Formless. There weren't atoms to form molecules. There weren't molecules to form stuff. There wasn't light or dark. Just emptiness. Tohu wabohu. In the emptiness, there was nothing as we know it in creation. There was just God. And the spirit, the essence, the breath of God was hovering over the waters. Now that can be a little confusing, because if everything was formless, how was there water? But in Hebrew, water is often more than just water. In the Hebrew scriptures and carrying on throughout the New Testament, water is rarely just water. It's highly symbolic. It can stand for heaven, life, baptism, even when water is water in a story in the Bible, it is also something else. This passage is here to show us the wonder and the majesty of what God did in creation, and that the Spirit of God was hovering. The picture that is being painted here is that in the formlessness, there is one who can breathe life into nothing. There is one who can give shape to the shapeless and fill what is empty. Without the Spirit of God to breathe being into that which was tohu wabohu, it would remain without form. When we move forward into Acts, we are shown that in a way, the people of Ephesus had been left formless and empty after their baptism by Apollos. After asking them some questions about it, Paul realized it was because the Spirit of God had not been invited into that moment. Their baptism had been merely symbolic. The people in Ephesus hadn't been baptized in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, and their lives, their ministries, were missing something. When Paul baptized the people in the baptism of Jesus and invited in the Holy Spirit, things got pretty interesting. Some of us might even say things got a little weird. The people began speaking in languages they didn't know. That would have been helpful in my Hebrew class. And then the people began to prophesy. Can you imagine? What a strange, surprising thing the Holy Spirit came down to do when the Ephesians were baptized. I wonder what they expected to happen. Did Paul know it would shake down like that? Did the people who were baptized have any idea that something so wonderfully strange and amazing would happen? Should they have been so surprised? Look at what happened when the Spirit of God hovered over the water in Genesis. God breathed breath into what was tohu wabohu. The Holy Spirit was there, swirling over it, and God spoke, and there was light. It wasn't just like turning on a light switch. There was not just a light off. There was no such thing as light. And then God worked. God created in the Spirit something wonderful, something that had never existed before. The very beginning of everything we know as creation. We can't leave the Holy Spirit in the baptism and in the life of the church like the Ephesians did at first. We're lost if we try to handle it all on our own. Without the Holy Spirit, we are tohu wabohu. We don't have any form or shape. When we baptize, we don't baptize just in the name of God the Father. We baptize in the name of God the Son and God the Holy Spirit as well. It's a moment in which the Holy Spirit is active and, like at creation, hovers over the water. So why do we move forward from our baptism as though the Holy Spirit is hardly there? We are formless and void without the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit isn't just a nice afterthought that shows up when it's helpful or convenient. The Holy Spirit is the breath, the presence, the essence, the very Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is not Batgirl. Do you remember Batgirl? It's okay if you don't. She wasn't very memorable. We probably all know who Robin is, and I'd be shocked if anyone in the room hasn't heard of Batman. But Batgirl? Eh. Batman is the real superhero. Robin is the trusty sidekick who provides the comic relief, or the human element. And Batgirl just shows up when it's helpful for the ratings. There are episodes and seasons of the TV show that go by without a word about Batgirl. And in the million Batman movies out there, I think Batgirl makes one, possibly two, appearances. Sometimes we see God as God the superhero, God the sidekick, and God the ratings booster. But we can't relegate the Holy Spirit to a tiny supporting role that only shows up when it's good for the ratings. We serve a God who is completely one and totally three. Not one or the other, not sort of unified, not a collection of gods that work together. Three in one. God the Father created, and in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and in the beginning the Ruach, the Spirit of God, hovered over the waters. We need the Holy Spirit, the one who hovers over the waters when we are still formless and void. We need the Spirit of God who shapes us. I'm not saying that we here are all without the Holy Spirit because we aren't speaking in strange languages and prophesying. The Holy Spirit works in many strange, wonderful, surprising ways in our midst. This is about embracing what a book I'm reading right now calls those sometimes joyful, often terrifying moments when we lose control of our story, when we find ourselves commandeered by the Holy Spirit, and when we are being put to use for greater ends than we ever intended. It's difficult to invite the work of the Holy Spirit because the work of the Holy Spirit isn't something we can plan, prepare for, control, or program. The Holy Spirit gives us shape, more wonderful shape than we can expect. It's through the guidance, the inspiration, the forming of the Holy Spirit that we are able to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of forgiveness, of freedom. For the Ephesians, that looked like speaking in different languages to reach those who didn't speak theirs, and delivering prophetic words from God. The movement of the Holy Spirit shaping this congregation is evident in things like meals being delivered to the sick, a thriving youth ministry, 4 new members who've been received recently. It's even seen in the fellowship and the love for one another that is experienced during the passing of the peace. What other exciting, surprising, strange, and wonderful things are in store for us if we continually remember to pray for the ministries here to be shaped by the Holy Spirit? What if we make our first and foremost prayer for this church that all which is tohu wabohu in our midst would be formed into something incredible? The Holy Spirit never stops hovering over the waters, waiting to be asked to enter in. The Holy Spirit is always moving, always up to something. It's up to us to let go and allow that movement to sweep us away and to create something wonderful in us. The Holy Spirit has been given access to move in us by our baptism in Jesus. That's why baptism has been so highly regarded and held onto so dearly by the church throughout the centuries. There's something very special about baptism, not just as repentance or dedication, but as a movement of the Holy Spirit. The waters of baptism and the movement of the Holy Spirit should never be allowed to slip out of our sight. By the Holy Spirit, we are taken in all of our formlessness, and we are made into something beautiful. We must not forget that the Holy Spirit dwells among us, for in baptism, God gives the baptized form and beauty through the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen.